Apostle Fermi Lazarus is a man raised by God to demonstrate his wisdom and authority to the Last Day Church. He is the lead pastor of Sphere of Light Church, and God told him years ago that a time will come where my wisdom will be needed to navigate tough times in the body of Christ. Then I will cause your voice to be heard, and all who pay attention to my word on your lips will not lack light and direction. He is a man sent from God, sent to raise God's end time armies. With Apostle Fermi Lazarus, every minute counts as you listen attentively.
God, we bless you, Father. We bless you, Lord, you are holy.
And forever you are God.
We
bless you, Lord, you are holy. And forever you are God. We bless you, Lord, you are holy. And forever you are God.
Father, we give you praise. And we thank you for the opportunity to always come to your presence and be fed with the bread of heaven. Tonight we ask, Father, that it will be your word, your counsel, and your wisdom flowing through my lips of clay in the name of Jesus. I ask, O Lord, that everyone who hears these words will find their place in destiny in the name of Jesus. And will receive the right heart needed to persecute it. Praise the Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. The Lord bless you. Please be seated. Good evening. Let's turn our Bibles as we continue. Same series. We've been on. Just that today I'm going to take it a step deeper. Amen. And I ask that the Lord will give you understanding. Amen. I know my assignment is to teach in simplicity and clarity. And if you open your heart wide, you're going to, see a great deal of things in this teaching today. Amen. Reversing the Mistakes of Joseph, Episode 2, Part 2, if I'm correct. Amen. I think Sunday what we had was a prophetic service. And so this is Bible study. This is part two. So let's look at that scripture again. Exodus chapter. Amen. Exodus 1. Today we are going to have two principal scriptures we'll be comparing. Majorly, that will be the foundation for the teaching. Exodus 1 from verse 6. Exodus 1 from verse 6. The Bible said, "And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation, and the generation of Israel, and the children of Israel were fruitful, and increased abundantly, and multiplied, and waxed exceeding mighty. And the land was filled with them." Now verse 8. "Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join," amen, "also with our enemies and fight against us. So get them up out of the land." That was the counsel of this king. Amen. So, and that was how their years of slavery began. Up until that time, they've just been there as immigrants in the land of Egypt. Amen. They were there as what? as immigrant in the land of Egypt. All right? Now, one of the tough work to do when studying the book of Exodus. Now, here is where we're going to begin to see a lot of disparity. Is that they spent 430 years in Egypt. What part of that 430 years was the year of slavery? That's the question many people have not asked. Amen? So when exactly did slavery started? Were they slaves for 430 years or slavery began towards the end? Because if you study Exodus 1 alone, it looks like they were just slaves for less than 40 years. And that's not true. Amen? So, when did slavery started? For us to answer that question, we're going to do a bit of some calculations in and out. Study life of Joseph, and then Bible concordance to know when exactly Joseph died. How many years did they use before Joseph died? I want to have a proposition that they probably joined Joseph in Egypt when Joseph was around 32 to 33. The first 7 years, he was around 37 then. In the middle of the second 7 years, where there was famine. So Joseph was around 40 when they joined him in Egypt. Joseph was around 40. So the calculation of the 430 years was not about when Joseph entered Egypt. It was about when Israel entered Egypt. And who was Israel? Jacob and his children. Please, there's a reason why I'm taking my time to explain this, because if you miss this, then you might be missing the whole essence. Amen? So, but the Bible said, when that generation died, then a new king rose. So we are looking at the complete exit of a generation. Amen? And the introduction of a new generation. So for years, this was not a matter of 2 months, 3 months. For years, one of the ways Egypt dealt with the Israelites was to kill their males at birth. For years. That was the way Egypt dealt with the Israelites. Until after a certain year that two Levites came together, Levite, and then they gave birth to a child that the Bible said the child was goodly. So many of these things were summed up, but they were events that took place for years. Amen? They were events that took place for what? For years. So, the exact year of their slavery was over 400 years. Was over 400 years. The exact year of their slavery was over 400 years. Because that was what the Bible said, that there will be slaves in a foreign land for 400 years. Maybe in this lecture or next, maybe I'm going to be able to try to help you really see the illustration of what God describes as slavery. But something happened. We saw that somewhere along that line, particularly in the 350th year, a child was born. In the 350th year of their sojourn and their slavery in Egypt, a child was born. And the name of that child is Moses. So, what I'm going to be doing this evening is to help you. We're going to study side by side the operation of Joseph and the operation of Moses. And this is the reason why we're going to be doing that study. Let's turn our Bibles quickly to Ezekiel. Please just follow me, for now everything may look scattered. We're going to gather them. Amen. It's a teaching. Praise God. It's a teaching. All right, we're going to begin to gather the tabs we are opening, so just follow attentively. Now look at it, Ezekiel 37 from verse 1. It says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. And it caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in an open valley and lo, very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. And he said to me, prophesy unto these bones and say to them, O ye dry bones, hear the words of the Lord. And the Lord said, all right. And thus says the Lord God unto this bone, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you. So what we will see, or let me say the summary of the story of the valley of dry bones, was restoration of what was lost. Amen. Now, the exact thing that left, after the order at which they left, was the exact thing God restored after the order at which they restored. So when there is chaos because certain things were not on ground. And when there's going to be restoration, restoration is in the presence of those things that the enemy has stolen. So let me explain a bit more. Amen? Are you following me? When God is doing the work of restoration, he is bringing what has been stolen. Because restoration is not just about the returning of what has been stolen. Certain things also have gone wrong because of the absence of what was lost. Restoration is that what was lost is brought back, and the things that were lost or the things that couldn't happen because of the absence of that thing begins to happen. So restoration is not just the reappearance of things. It is also the reappearance of event that needs to have taken place in the presence of those things. Is it simple enough? So, and the reason why you need to understand this scripture is because slavery began despite the fact that they were immigrants. Slavery began because certain things were missing. And freedom will happen because what was missing then that orchestrated slavery will now be present for liberation to be possible. Are you following what I'm saying? Is it simple enough? Is it simple enough? You need to understand that because that's the basics of what I'm about to teach tonight. So when the children of Israel came to Egypt, they came for food, but much more they came for survival. And even though it had been a prophecy that they will sojourn in a strange land, is that okay? For a certain year. Now listen to this. Even though it had been a prophecy that there will be immigrants in that land for certain years, that prophecy cannot be self-fulfilled unless the sons of men fulfills the condition necessary for that thing to happen. Even though unpleasant, people have to partner with it. And when it is pleasant, in the presence of certain understanding, will it be fulfilled? Is it simple enough? Meaning that nobody can look at you and prophesy something negative and something bad unless there is a part of you that cooperate with it. And in the same light, even good prophecies cannot happen unless you also make certain prophetic steps and movement in adjustment to those good things. So Moses was the restoration of what was missing in Joseph. Can I come again with that? Moses was the restoration of what was missing in Joseph in order for them to be free. So we want to put side by side. And the reason why we have to put side by side is because we can never really reverse the mistakes of Joseph until we have studied Moses. Joseph describes entry. Moses' life describes Exodus. Is that okay now? For Joseph, it was about survival. But for Moses, it was about fulfillment of promises. I'd like us to please follow. Now, this that I'm saying is not in any way to cast negative remark on the ministry of Joseph. He was a phenomenal man. And we are not comparing them with the aim of just bringing out weaknesses. We need to understand that these two individuals simply did their own part and fulfill their own assignment. Is that simple enough? Good. But we must understand that sometimes, though sent by God, somebody's assignment that was relevant for a generation may not be relevant for the other generation. In fact, what was the sound of rejoicing in a generation may be the noise of bondage for another.
And that's why one of the ways for us to move with God is to understand that God is always on the go. And what was celebrated before may be the chains of what is coming. Amen. Is this simple enough? I'm trying to be as simple as possible, so please just follow and hear me well. Now let's look at their background. We understood that Moses was from a tribe. Am I correct? And that's the tribe of what? Levi. And the progenitor of that tribe was the elder brother of Joseph. So when it comes to generational gap, Joseph was part of the ancestors that were referred to in the days of Moses. As a matter of fact, there were 350 years, all right, gap between their existence. So I wrote here that Joseph is the younger brother of the progenitor of the Moses tribe, Levi, which was one of the brothers of Joseph. 350 years before Moses was born. That was the generation gap between them. So they were not age mates. There was a lot of gap between them. And we're going to see the influence of that generational gap in terms of their operation and their activities. So God had to bring what was missing in Joseph through Moses to bring them out of slavery. And what was missing influenced their stay. Which was what Moses had to bring them out of. That is, certain things were actually missing in Joseph that actually influenced their stay. If we put Moses from the generation that he was back to the days of, what is he called now, Joseph, it is very possible that based on what Moses knew and understood, they may never enter into slavery. And I'm going to show you why. Now, let's still look into their background. Joseph was a slave who rose to authority. Moses was raised in the palace where Joseph had to rise to. So, Joseph moved from slavery to palace. Moses moved from palace to slavery to bring them out of slavery. Are we seeing the difference? And the Bible said that Moses did that. He said that he forsook the pleasure of Egypt. All right, choosing rather to take the reproach of God's people. Are you seeing that now? For one, being in the palace was a thing of celebration. The other one saw that palace and the four walls of it as continuation of bondage. And there will be a need to give it up for a while in order for the real one to be established through them. Meaning that the Joseph generation celebrates the positions given in the palace, while the Moses generation wants a new nation. Is that simple enough now? Let me explain. The Joseph generation, their own fulfillment of destiny is the fact that they were recognized in the palace, celebrated in the palace, given position in the palace. The assignment of the Exodus generation will be that we have to forsake the pleasures of palace, because the pleasure of a few comes hand in hand with the bondage of many. And there will be a need to forsake that pleasure and go into what looks uncertain in order for everyone to now come out as a new nation. If you can see that in Nigeria now, copy and paste. For Joseph, it was a privilege. Now I'm comparing these two great guys. For Joseph, it was a privilege to meet Pharaoh and to be set free by Pharaoh, while Moses grew up with the Pharaoh of his days. And he grew up in the palace. Now, their background and the journey of what they went through influenced the nature of the assignment differently. Because for Joseph, the assignment was to help them survive and give them food for survival. For Moses, his assignment was to take that food from their mouth and bring them out of survival into dependence on God. Can I explain that again? I'm trying to be patient probably for the sake of those who are joining the teaching for the first time and for you to assimilate this body of truth. So meaning that if you were around in the days of Joseph, it will be a thing of joy that one of your kind is actually in the palace, but it's just one. But it will take the prophetic generation to see that what one is celebrating may be the bondage of many others. And there is a need to forsake that. Amen. I'm trying not to be too proverbial and just teach the word. Amen. Meaning that the church, if there was a church in the days of Joseph, they will celebrate the fact that we have one of us who is in the palace. The church in the days of Moses says, it's time to leave it. The church in the days of Joseph will say, oh, we have one of us taking this position and gradually this. But in the days of Moses, it is that we have to leave the palace, we have to leave the position, we have to leave the garlics, the cucumbers, the melons and all those things and then trust God for what he will provide. That doesn't seem to make sense. Joseph's assignment was to preserve them during famine. Part of Moses' assignment was to feed them with manna that they and their fathers nothing about. In fact, Deuteronomy 8 says that it was part of his ministry was to cause them to hunger. So sometimes when you are leaving Egypt, it looks like you are leaving plenty into emptiness. But it is an exodus. And the reason why people prefer Egypt is because Egypt gives certain food with certain bondage. Canaan, you have to trust God through the journey for the food, but there's freedom. Is this simple enough? So Joseph's generation was preservation. Joseph's assignment was preservation. Moses' assignment was exodus, emergence. Not preservation, emergence. As a matter of fact, the generation that came to Joseph all survived. But the generation that came to Moses, that generation died in the wilderness. And then it took just a few amongst them that were born, all right, and those who were also born in the wilderness to survive and get to the promised land. Because under Moses, when it's time to emerge from slavery into promise, your responsibility is much more. But you don't have too much responsibility to be a slave. In fact, you have to become irresponsible to be a slave. But the responsibility of freedom is higher and more. Hence the reason why many prefer slavery. Because all you have to do to be a slave is to be free. And all you have to do to be free is to be engaged with the responsibility of freedom. Is this simple enough? And if we look at the possible psychological effect of when the both of them entered palace, you will see that one saw it as a privilege. The other could audaciously tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And that was not just because he had met Yahweh, but because he was also acquainted with Pharaoh. Is this simple enough what I'm teaching? I want to be very patient with you. As a matter of fact, I honestly did not think I was going to teach today because of the burden of what is going on in our nation, so we could pray. Amen. But while we are praying, while we are teaching, before I get back to this teaching, in a moment or two, can we lift our hands, please, concerning Nigeria and say, Father, we ask that your wisdom will prevail over the situation of this nation. We ask that your wisdom will prevail in the name of Jesus. We ask that your wisdom will prevail. We ask that your wisdom over Nigeria, your wisdom will prevail. Your wisdom will prevail. In the name of Jesus. Please go ahead. In a moment. We ask that your wisdom, O Lord, will prevail. In the name of Jesus. Oh, help Nigeria. Help Nigeria. Help Nigeria. Help Nigeria. Help Nigeria. Please go ahead. In a moment. Oh, yes. Please, let's go ahead and pray for Nigeria. So Lord, let your wisdom prevail. In the name of Jesus. Oh, yes. Gonna give you one more minute. Pray for Nigeria. Pray for Nigeria. Pray for Nigeria. Thank you, Father. Oh, we bless your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name we're praying. Now, I asked us to pray because I perceive strongly that there is a movement from Joseph to Moses. And if you study the scripture very well, some of the template I'm showing you will be relevant for the next 5-6 years. Because in the days of Joseph, there's plenty of food, but bondage. And when Moses comes, there will be scarcity for a while, but there's freedom and then there's destiny. Let me leave there. So the assignment of Joseph was to preserve them in the days of famine. The assignment of Moses was to bring them out of the bondage they had entered through food. Food. They entered into the bondage through food. Food. Asking, we need corn. And it's not, there's no crime in eating. But sometimes people are not discerning to know when the food has become gravel in their mouth. And the food has become a tool in the hands of the devil to enslave the people, to mock their lives, to destroy them. And sometimes it's something, you know, many people are there. In fact, what is happening is that the beneficiaries of bondage are more than the beneficiaries of freedom. Because bondage, you have to break certain things and not do the right things. And then, I don't want to go into that. Many people pray and ask, oh Lord, there's going to be new Nigeria and all that. The new Nigeria will not accommodate that somebody sit on behalf of somebody else for WAEC. So you have to study. But you see that in the whole system, you also are part of, you have the dividends of the corruption. Are you following what I'm saying here? Huh? Under Joseph, You lie about your age in your certificate and then get the job. And then there's plenty of food in your mouth. And the reason you can do that is because the system is broken. But under Moses, you can't. Okay? Because this is Exodus out of bondage and the systems of... And it will amaze you that when they were led out and they needed meat, that is, they had come to a point where they had prioritized food above freedom. They said, did we not have food to eat in Egypt? He said, but you have brought us here and what do you give us? This manna. Let me explain that. If you go to Nigeria, drive on the road and all that, people are breaking traffic laws and then they will go with it and say, nobody's going to catch us. That's under Joseph. But under Moses, you go to, you break traffic law, they impound your vehicle because now there's more responsibility. The problem is that many who complain about bondage are beneficiaries of the systems of bondage. And that's why they are not willing to pay the price for freedom. And many who complain about slavery, they are beneficiaries of the systems that sustains it. The church under the days of slavery, the pastor can have impunity and do a lot of things outside scriptures and nobody. But under Moses where there's regulation, hey, you do certain things, you are going down for it. So the issue is that the emotions and the flesh of the people prefers bondage. Because bondage allowed them to exercise their freedom. And true freedom, listen to this, true freedom is to be bound to certain codes and conduct that are correct. And true bondage is to be free to do anything you like. So most times when we talk about the new Nigeria, we are not talking about exodus from good and from convenience and from inconvenience into convenience. No, we are talking about exodus from convenience into what is straight, into what is restricting. Because for the society to be good, the laws must bound all of us. Anywhere there is no structure, you are not under obligations. But the proof of correct structures is that it holds you to. So sometimes the problem is that those who are saying we are tired of the system of bondage have all their livelihoods built on that system. So when they say we want freedom, they can't cope when it comes because they saw that there's no way for them. So Egypt gives you food but keeps you in chain. Moses says, get out, but we have to trust Yahweh for manna. Am I teaching some things? You know, the reason I just digressed is because I'm not waiting for you to pick them by yourself. I'm just through teaching so your eyes can be opened. Such that by the time God needs to bring a nation, a people, an individual out of what looks like bondage, what God needs to do is to also regulate the appetite. Amen? What God needs to do is also to regulate the appetite. Now check this. Some of the individuals who have good and reasonable finance are people who don't just eat and spend anyhow. But some of those who are poor and are broke consistently, check them. They use the money they don't have to buy things they don't need. Because to enter into abundance and stay there, there has to be laws binding you. And to be a slave, you just have to be free to do just what you like. And the kind of freedom the devil promised people is the kind they have in Egypt. You have plenty of food, but you have chains. Is it simple enough? True prudence is the fact that the money is there doesn't mean it should be spent. But the spirit of poverty is let's borrow to spend, even when we don't have. Joseph's mission, or the era of Joseph, was for survival. And the era of Moses was for emergence. Under Joseph, they enjoyed and were sustained by the food of Egypt. Now, listen to this. Under Joseph's administration, if you have your elder brother in INEC, you don't complain because that's the same wage they are using to pay your school fees. Because you're also eating the food of Egypt. If you have your elder brother who is a politician and use money, you don't even care where, but I have, thank God I'm connected and I have an elder brother who is this and all that. You don't even care as long as the money feeds you. You do not even care. Because sometimes those who truly need freedom don't want freedom. Because their sustenance is built on their bondage. I think I might be going a bit. I'm trying to a bit slow down for you to, you know, assimilate. And if necessary, anyways. Under Joseph, they enjoyed and were sustained by the food of Egypt. But under Moses, they have to give it up. And move into uncertainty. Joseph's entry point was economy. Moses' entry point was activism. I'm not going to be breaking that down too much, but because of the nature of the atmosphere now, you see, Joseph had to solve an economic problem, but Moses had to solve human problem. By that I mean a human right crisis. But for Joseph, it was food. but for Moses, it was affliction. So under Joseph's administration, what we see is that certain things are put in place so that there can be more food and more food and more food. Under Moses' administration, certain things are put in place so that so and so person can get justice and can get freedom and can get liberation and can get the court case can be like this, the judicial system can be like this, the legal system can be like this. But the Joseph system don't care about legal system as long as there's food. The Moses generation cares about all those processes. Because that's how he emerged. Somebody had to speak about Joseph at the palace. Moses went to the palace to say, let my people go. Joseph was 44 at retirement. Moses began his job at 80. And died on the job at 120. As a matter of fact, he began earlier at 40. Could we say that he had longer time to prepare? Moses was a visionary leader who not only led them out, but also gave them a leader. Joseph was also a leader who led well, but gave them food and no leadership. So if you have two individuals campaigning for election under Joseph and under Moses, the one under Joseph will say, I'm going to give you, there's going to be more food, spaghetti is going to be cheaper, rice is going to be plenty, and this is going to be available. The one under Moses is going to say that we're going to stop the killings. There's going to be security. Then we're going to make sure that people get justice, including when I do something wrong. So how do you know as a nation that your exodus has come? You check the one who speaks about human crisis. Human right. Things that benefit lives beyond food. Am I teaching someone here? Are you sure? Are you really sure? Okay. I'm trying to leave some things unsaid, particularly because of the nature of the season. But at the same time, I will have to do my job. So let me give you an illustration again. I said under Joseph, what is the campaign promise? Plenty food. There's going to be food. Because all you have to do is to survive. But under Moses, it's not about plenty food. It's about the fact that the quality of your entire living has to change. It's that there is a land God has prepared for you. There is an end. There is a desire in the mind of God that is bigger than just food. So let go the food. Because giving it up will be part of the process needed to enter into those desires. And that's why many generations are more gravitated towards their Josephs than their Moses. Because he seems more certain with Joseph. And he looks uncertain with Moses. And you don't have to fight under Joseph, but you have to fight under Moses. You don't have to rebel under Joseph. Just obey, zombie. Turn to the right, turn. Turn to the left, turn. Go here, there. But under Moses, you've got to say the truth to power. Okay. In Egypt, if you had gone to normal rooms, you're going to find plenty plate. Plenty plate. And food, and then some amateur jobs to doing their works, and materials to doing their works. But under, what's it called now? Moses. You're going to see boots. You're going to see some swords because they had to fight some battles. We are going to see tent because they are actually on a journey. Okay. Let me just leave it there. J- Joseph saw the beauty of Egypt and their innocence. But Moses saw the wickedness of Egypt and their cruelty. If you had asked Joseph, what is Egypt like? Wow, beautiful people, lovely people, but they give you food and put chains in your hands. And why are they seeing different things? One grew up from the palace and knew what they were eating and probably heard certain things. So when he came out, he saw a different lifestyle. He could protest. But the other guy grew up in prison. So any little thing will give a sense of accomplishment. Amen. It's simple enough. You've not gotten the gist. So for Moses, it was that seeing the pleasure in the palace and coming out and saying, what is this? For Joseph, it was like seeing the pain and the problem in the prison and coming out to the palace and saying, wow! One of the ways you know that a Moses generation, an Exodus generation is imagined, is that the same palace that used to look beautiful will begin to see it for what it is. In the days of Joseph, people say, I can't wait to get to the palace. In the days of Moses, people say, I'm not interested until we have changed the narratives. Because getting to the palace in the days of Joseph, unless you're a visionary leader, does not change the status of your people. They will eat and they're in bondage. But when Exodus comes, you want more than food. In fact, one of the ways you will know that there is a change that has been announced for you is that what used to be pleasant becomes loathsome. You start feeling uneasy. We can see this in the life of eagles. When eagles are taking care of eaglets and they are maturing their eaglets, am I correct with that word, eaglet? At eaglet, that's the young ones. Maturing them. And when it's time for the eaglets to fly, the eagles begin to fly. The same eagles that bring pleasant things and bring food and all that, now begins to bring thorns, begin to bring sharp stuffs, and begin to drop them in the nest of the eaglets. But by the time the eaglet turn and they are seeing inconveniences, it's painful. Pain is an announcement that Exodus is here. So for the eagle, you will never fly as long as you are being fed inconvenience. You've got to experience the thorns, the pains. Where used to be pleasant, then you can cry and spread your wings and fly. And I perceive strongly that the African continent is like a nest. That for a while had felt the good times and were known with dance and dance and dance. Africa is, they will say, happy people, and they were dancing and dancing. And it seems like a season is imagined that the same Africa is now known for protest and protest and protest. Because when people change from dancing in bondage to protesting in that same place, then their eyes might be opened. And just when that happens, the continent will spread our wings and fly. And I perceive strongly that the eaglet of this nation and the eaglet of this continent, the wings are spreading. Just as the thorns and the limitations are announcing that you cannot be here forever. I see the wings coming out. I see the wings coming out. I see the same people who used to be known for dancing in bondage now saying, no, the days of our bondage are over. It is time for us to come out. It is time for us to be free. It is time for us to emerge. It is time for us to rise and shake ourselves as a continent. Because if you studied it, it looked like there was a generation where Africa was just happy. And it looks like now in every country and in Europe, you see these African countries protesting today and they are protesting tomorrow. It looks like there is a cry. And just when the same Egypt that used to be beautiful and innocent is no longer pleasant, then there might be a Moses around the corner. And sometimes Moses is not just a person. Moses is a system. I believe that the new Nigeria is not about the emergence of one man, but the emergence of a people who are now crying about what they used to enjoy. Because the reason for Moses was because God said, I heard their cry. So it was not Moses that told them be inconvenient. No. Moses was sent in response to the God, to the cry of the people that came before the God of heaven. So the people have to cry naturally about the things they used to dance about. Now I see that there is a movement from comedies that they act and use what we should cry about as comedy. Police brutality and military brutality. And we rose to a point that we say, hence us. Because the brutalities are not. We used to make jokes about them. That if a soldier has to slap you, this, and they laugh. But a time came, it was no longer funny. That's when you are moving from Joseph to Moses. The people begin to cry. The people begin to raise their sound. People begin to ask for more. People, and one of the things the Egypt system doesn't like is that don't ask for more. They tell you, do you sleep? Yes. Do you eat? Yes. That should be enough. But just when the same people begin to ask for more, it might be a sign in heaven that a new generation is emerging. And again, like I said, I see the continent of Africa moving from unnecessary dance to a lot of groaning. To a lot of groanings. And a lot of groanings. Because Zion will have to travail to bring forth. And no nation will be born if they miss their season of travail. Can I come again with that? No nation will be born if they miss their season of travail. So, the inconvenience, the pain in the midst of what you used to enjoy might be an announcement of the fact that according to what is written and according to God's calendar, this is your season to be free. This is your moment. This is your moment. This is under Joseph. The food looks predictable because those who made it predictable left it so. Because there's something they are gaining from you more than the food they are giving you. But under Moses, we say, drop your plate. Then let's move. Let's move. Let's move. Let's move. Let's move. And the Bible said they did hunger under Moses. Can you say that? How can it be? We expect that when freedom is coming, things will be easier. Under Moses, you'll be hungry. Under Joseph, you'll not. But you have to choose between your belly and future. You have to choose. But there is a generation that picked their belly and they will be in bondage. But there is a generation that says, we don't want food. There is a generation that collected money in exchange for vote. Took bags of rice in exchange for pledge of loyalty. There's a generation that stoned them with their bags and their money and said, don't give us food, give us a life. There is a generation that collect bags of beans and collect flyers and caps and t-shirts and for another 8 years. And it went on in all nations in Africa. But there's a generation that will say, take your nonsense. It will not sustain us for 8 years. Give us jobs. Give us security. Give us food. Because when there is transition, the demands are different. Amen. And I see a new nation being born. I see a new nation being born. That when those who used to come and give you food in exchange for your life brings the food and they see you are no longer interested, then it will now take those who can augment your life to lead you. So one of the things that happens is that the narrative will change. First, it is that just give them food and they'll be fine. There is a generation in the generation of Joseph and all that. When a new politician is coming, then they go and buy corn, roasted corn to show that they eat what you eat. And then they buy amala at a buka and then sit and eat from the same place. And sit with students in schools and eat from the same place, plate. But when the Moses and the Exodus generation emerge, it will be beyond just eating once and doing all those things once. It will be somebody who have left the palace to identify with us to now bring us out. So the narratives are changing. Going to make women heir as a proof of good governance, or what will become good governance, will not work. So when the demands change from food to life, the quality of leaders change. When the demands change from give us food to improve our lives, then the emergence of new leaders will be determined. When the demands change from fill our bellies to help our future, our schools, our youth, then the quality of leaders and the attention to quality governance change. You see. So, you know there is an exodus when there is a change in demand. Just that moment when you see a new generation asking for new things, then you can tell that they are about to leave slavery. When the same people will be busy dancing in clubs and dancing in parties and now sleeping on the road at night and saying, give us a new better governance and better government, then we are leaving Egypt to the promised land. When the same people who used to be prostitutes and all those things now come out and say, we want a better life, that there might be an exodus from the old into the new. There is no change if there's no change of activity, and which is promoted by change of mentality. What used to catch people's fancy becomes what doesn't make them smile anymore. It's an announcement that a new generation is emerging. All broken system is built on poor demands. All broken system is built on poor demands. Because in the days of Joseph, going to the palace was for excursion. In the days of Moses, you were raised there. So you know what should be, and you know what is, and then you know what you are demanding for. Hey, am I helping someone here? Are you sure? You know, if you study the life and some of the things I'm saying now, I'm saying them in respect to the future. If you study the life of Joseph, when they came to Egypt once, nobody told them to stay, they stayed. But when the days of Pharaoh came back, many times they wanted to run back. Because sometimes Africa is not ready for what she's asking for. We want it, but not so bad. We want it, but when it stresses us, let's just leave it. But there's no exodus without stress. And there's no exodus without demand. And there's no exodus without blackmails. And there's no exodus without pain. A generation has to pay the price. So Moses was part, Joseph's generation was part of the government in Egypt. And it was a good thing. It was celebrated. It was amazing. It was nice. Oh, he rose and brothers bowed down to him. Fantastic. A Moses generation doesn't care. For Moses' generation, it is we want out. Out of broken systems. I'm not talking about out to create a new country. I'm talking about out of the broken system, out of slavery, and out of pain. So, in the days of Joseph, when you come to our church as a politician, say, wow, take the front seat. We honor you. We celebrate you. Ah, you are amazing. Look at what God has done. One of us is also in the seat of power. In the Exodus days, we're having those who are exposed to that power come back and say, I want to be identified with my people, because I've seen not just the innocence of power, but the danger of it. And I said to you, that sometimes those who don't understand the depth of the problem can't solve it. Because just when they see the depth, they may run. Sometimes. And I showed you Ezekiel 37 that before God said these bones should live, it caused him to walk around the bones see the depth of the problem, then answer my question. Sometimes there's a generation saying, Nigeria, new Nigeria, but they don't know how decayed and how bad the system is. And I believe that the new Nigeria, the new Africa, the move of God in Africa that will have to cut beyond just religion to all other aspects. For that to be fully actualized, there are people God will have to start introducing to systems now. Because those who are naive and who don't know what is going on in the corridors of power may not really be useful in bringing people out. In fact, what really happens is that when most of them now see the goodies, then their curriculum change. When they see how sweet it is. That, what? You mean I can collect 6 billion to execute a contract that will need actually 1 billion? Because Egypt radicalizes you, just like Babylon. We're still going to discuss about Babylon. So it will take people who have made covenant with God that will not sell their bellies. You see, when Jehu was going to fulfill God's judgment on Jezebel, you know what? Jezebel was very beautiful. You know what she did? Jezebel stood before the mirror and just decorated just her face and stood. If she looks at you, you will melt. But the part that could respond is what makes Jehu sit in that position. He was an eunuch. An eunuch means that they have cut away the stuff, so he can't do anything. You know. So, when Jezebel looked at him, he said, look at us! We are but eunuchs. It is like saying that, now you are trying to say, you two, keep quiet, take this 6 billion. Look at us! God has dealt with this about us before we were trusted with this access. We are not naive to what money is. We came from a system that has killed us to this because we have a duty to perform. Sometimes our systems and our curriculum in church is not effective to raise quality people. But many of them see the beauty of the palace, they bow, and they forget about freedom. They forget about the hope of the days of their youth. They forget about the days they themselves cried and said, God, use me for Nigeria. Use me for Africa. Use me for my family. And they sit with the plates of Egypt and they eat. But that generation will die. It will take another year for another generation to emerge, to try to get free from bondage. When one settles for food, another one will have to fight and fight and try to be free. The moment there is one who is saying, we want out, we're tired, then freedom comes. Hey. Are you learning something here? Are you sure? I feel maybe I'm talking to the wrong people. If you are learning something, say, I hear you. Hey. You know the reason why even under Moses, their journey took 40 years? Because they were not used to battle. They were not used to war. They're not used to it. It's just like somebody saying that you are a prophet, but you are not used to people disagreeing with you. That's not the fruit of the prophetic ministry. You arise through people disagreeing with you and insulting you. The Exodus generation is a contending generation. It's a contending generation. Contending for what is theirs. Contending for what has been freely given in Christ. Contending for the reality of what should be. Amen. I said amen. I say again amen. I want to say a few things and I'm careful. I want to put them in right perspective so that what I want to say will not be distorted. Distorted. One of the ways the devil keeps people in bondage, I've tried to explain this. There's this rat. I know the rat is more common in the north. I don't know about the west. I remember growing up as a child, because of the heat of the environment, sometimes our house has a balcony, we have to go up and then sleep and then rest, and then later at night, middle of the night, 1, 2 a.m., we go back to our rooms and all that. So that was how we were in those heat season and all that. You know, maybe just those who are really, really wealthy were using ACs and generators that could carry the ACs. But I remember on few occasions that some people slept and they ate. Maybe they didn't wash their mouth. And waking up, the rat has eaten part of their lips. A few times. Have you ever heard something like that? Ah. Some it ate their leg. Some it ate. It just went where the scent of the stew was or the soup and ate. But they will not wake up. Some only woke up following day only to see that a portion was gone. Because this rat was very skillful, that the way it eat was that while it is eating, it will be blowing breeze. And that's exactly what Egypt does. It is eating you, but shh. Amen. I perceive that the system of Egypt had exploited the innocence of Joseph. I think maybe Joseph died believing that Egypt were good guys. And God is raising deliverers right now. We are saying, no, this is not the definition of being good. You can't give people one cup of rice for 8 years. This is not the definition of being good. You can't give people a t-shirt and a cap and Indomie for 8 years. This is not the definition of being good. And this generation is changing their demands. But the first place where their voice must be heard, and this is where we miss it. The first place where their voice must be heard must be in the ears of God. Because it is God who prepares, wakes up, and sends deliverers. So the generation who says prayer means nothing, they've missed it also. So it is going to be God's people raising their voice and say, oh God, we are in chains and in affliction. Rescue us. And that's where deliverance begins. And, you know, I sense to give a little break and ask again that we will do now like it was done then. And say, oh God of heaven, on behalf of Nigeria, on behalf of the continent of Africa, we raise our voice and weep and request that the days of bondage are over, that you will raise for us deliverers. You will raise for us help. Oh God of heaven, we lift our voices and cry and say, help us. Help us. Raise for this nation. Raise for this continent. Help us. In the help us. 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 In Jesus' mighty name we're praying. Obadiah chapter number 1, verse 21. Obadiah 1, 21 says, and saviors shall come up on the Mount of Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Because Esau needs to be judged. Verse 17 says, but upon Mount Zion, there shall be what? Deliverance. But the deliverance will happen because saviors will what? Emerge. Because there is also another set of people that miss it entirely. And say, it's just about when we pray, it's just settled, No, it's not settled. We have to pray, but we also have to raise saviors. You didn't hear that. It's not just settled that we have prayed. We have to pray, But there is a set and a generation of individuals that will emerge. So prayer is to download the template. That we get busy to use the template. Can we ask? Oh Lord, let there be the emergence of saviors. It's not one savior. No, but no. You and I, we are going to emerge and deliver, and God is going to give us deliverance. Let there be an emergence of saviors. Hey, pray. Oh, shene karaka, get. Vini aiki gina mai, eleni. In Jesus' name we're praying. Suddenly when you see the Gen Z's that ought to be ourselves with frivolities, says they were not for that, then you can tell that the clouds are gathered. When you think the younger they are, the more stupid they should be. And suddenly you see wisdom coming from young people. Say, we want something different. That might be a sign that salvation is around the corner. And it's not just Nigeria. Amen. And like many people have predicted that we are 50 years behind of some nations. And some people say we are over 400 years behind some nations. Over 100 and something years behind some nations. But I think God is going to shrink time for us. And we are going to catch up. Amen. Because first Africa will catch up. Then Africa will overtake. And like Joshua commanded that the sun stand still. I perceive that God is also making the sun stand still. Because there is a generation that does not have time. And they need to break out. There's no time for them. Time will be paused. Because a people needs to rise. If time can be elongated, it will be shrinked for us. And what ought to take 50 years will be done in 1 month. Because a people need to emerge. Time will be shrinked for us. Time will not fight against us. It will be on our side. Time will be on our side as a people. Time will be on our side as a continent. We are not going to be seeing it when we are about to die. We will get it in our young age and have time on our side for execution. Because Joshua had conquered and had conquered and had conquered. And just when they should do the main thing, then time was going. And God let the sun stayed and the moon obeyed. Both stood side by side because time needs to cooperate. Time is cooperating with Nigeria. 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 Time is cooperating with Africa. Time is cooperating with Africa. Time is cooperating with us. Time agrees with us. Eliakai, they mean no save he get this. Eliakai, if we ne coast if Elia kombi isevene kosha. Hey, can you pray in the Holy Ghost, people? Hey, say kero day. Ebilaka ita fenish. Hey. And suddenly, war to take decades is done in no time. It's 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 done in no time. In Jesus' name we're praying. When it is Exodus time, Everybody has to be fast. In Exodus 12, when they were going to eat the Passover meal, God said, "Basil, the days you used to lie down and eat is over. Stand like men of war and eat this food at night. And let your men greet them their loins." He used the word "as men of war." As men of war. And I perceive that we are not just going to Exodus out of Egypt, we will spoil Egypt. I perceive strongly that before there is an Exodus, there is a transference of wealth. There are family, gratuity, and all those that have been sat upon for years. Oh, a wind will blow and cause a refund. I perceive strongly that bread is coming back to the land. And those who have, our people that we have lost to other nations will begin to come back. Because now there is plenty. I said there's plenty. But I see the wind of exchange of wealth. Because it is part of the equation. Because God says that the nation that else who holds you captive, I will now spoil them for your sake. I see God causing a massive exchange of wealth in favor of the church. Can you pray about that in a moment? Oh Jesus. Oh yes. Oh yes. In Jesus' name we're praying. You know, sometimes the church will build people who are complacent with Egypt. Because also our curriculum shows them that God doesn't want more for you. Just make heaven. Then we authorize Pharaoh to make it hell. But there is a generation that is understanding by books. Understanding by books. That God wants us to prosper. Above all things. And then being held. There is a generation reading in between the lines. And say we know our covenant inheritance. And there is a generation that is saying, "Give me this mountain." I didn't hear that. Amen. There's a generation saying, "Give me this mountain." Amen. Says, "I'm not too old." Hey, Kalifahadi. Sikrende right. Akebonos to krende man. Is to plan de krende. Hey, and de kre. Hey. Can I have you pray in the Holy Ghost again? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. In Jesus' mighty name we're praying. Sit down for a while. I perceive strongly, you know, I shared this with you, that after the Second World War, in order for them to avert the tendency of such occurrence, advancing the territory of your nation into another man's territory. And that's when they came up with the Atlantic Charter. Very powerful document. And but it is just somebody understanding that document that began the liberation of many countries. Because when they say that all people shall have the right to self-determination and all that, they were not saying all people in respect to Nigeria and Ghana. They were saying all people because they believe all people is what they find in Europe and America and Germany. And that's why you see that when they say I saw a short video, and somebody was holding plantain, what we call plantain here, a white guy. And he said, "Look at this, is the biggest banana in the world." I shook my head. I said, "This is not banana, this is plantain. And if you come to Africa, we have much more." And that's why you see that when you watch your American movie and they show that the world is ending, they show China, America, Hong Kong, Japan, it looks as though there is a conclusion that Africa is not part of the world. And it was in the spirit of that that the Atlantic Charter was written and made. Tama Gandhi, I love him, read those documents, understood it, and began agitation for the freedom of India. Then we have our own guys also stumble on those understanding. The Nkrumah generation, the Fumilayo Ransom Kuti generation, the Sankaras, though they were different generations. And they began to agitate for more. But I perceive that about 70 years after that time, right where we are now, there is a generation also understanding by books and saying we have to go to phase two of freedom. First was from the white knights, from our people. And I just want to close so I don't oversay the things I should say, and because this is church, not history class. But you cannot separate emergence from his knowledge of history. Because sometimes you are doing the wrong things because you don't know how that kind is done. History is not emotional, it is what it is. So there is a generation that is understanding again and is saying we want something different. We want something different. Don't bring Davido to come and play and sing four songs for us during campaign. Bring people who talk things that are reasonable. Let's listen to you talk. Don't bring the MCs that are saying all the rah stops. Bring people who are mature and understands communication. Because now we want something better. Don't dance and say because you have danced, you are vibrant. Show us something deeper. I perceive strongly that this generation is that generation saying, give us more. Amen? Are you the right generation? Saying, give us more. Dancing is not a sign of leadership. Eating amala on the road is not a sign of leadership. Eating roasted corn on the road is not a sign of leadership. True or not true? Babbing air or letting a local baba bab you is not a sign of leadership. Show us from your track record. Show us what you can do from what you have done. And just when that generation emerge, oppressors will change their strategy. They know they either leave the scene or they change their character. Amen. But because that generation also come with their own deliverers, oppressors have to leave the scene. And let me round up here. When it was time for the Israelites to leave Egypt, and by Egypt I'm talking about the system, I'm not talking about breaking any nation, Moses said, let my people go, that they may worship God in the wilderness. Amen? Now, the word Moses used was what? My people. So you have to watch out for the leader that say, my people. Because among those, my people were 12 tribes. But he united them. It was my people. Not convincing the tribe of Judah against the tribe of Levi. When it was time to be accepted, he went to all to accept him. Not Levi, no, I'm one of you. All. Let me leave you to decode that. But Egypt always says, go and worship God in the wilderness, but don't go too far. I saw something like that today when a vice presidential aspirant of a party, I'm not going to go into that, was saying that We know that for justice to be served, so and so ethnic group needs to produce a president from their place. So we know. Say, but the person they are putting forward is not the best. They began to mention some corrupt individuals. Say, what about this? What about this person? Egypt wants to give you little. He must be interested in all. And because I know, let me tell you the reason I'm teaching this. I know that my assignment in this season is to help God's people understand where we are and where we are going, and to also raise functionaries for what is coming. Amen? To raise what? Functionaries for what is coming. And I perceive that there's an harvest coming, and I'm going to wrap up there. There's an harvest coming. There's an harvest because, listen, many positions you didn't know exist that were plugged into back doors. Now the doors will be open and credibility will be required. Don't burn certificates yet. They're about to be needed. There's an harvest coming and you've got to be positioned. contract will no longer be about who knows who, but who can get the job done. Dust those documents. Improve your skills, because they're about to send for you from the palace. Amen. There's an harvest coming, and I've seen it. And I'm announcing there's an harvest coming. There's an harvest coming. There's a reward coming. There's an harvest coming. They are sending for you shortly. They're about to send for the one who is the most skillful. Amen. And the whole system might have rejected your skill and don't mind. But there's something coming in this season that the skills will now matter. There's an harvest here. I said there's an harvest here. There's an harvest here. I said there's an harvest here. I said there's an harvest here. In the name of Jesus, it is here. Many grants you don't know exist when it's about to show them up and you know that they exist. But you must have your business plans intact. Many opportunities you don't know are available. Something's about to happen in your state. At your federal level, you're about to see that all this happens. Many of you listening to me are about to become VCs of universities, become senior lecturers. Some of you who have done your PhD and you have been delayed being a professor for years, you are about to see it happen. But you must be prepared. Because it is the expectations of the righteous that will not be cut short. Don't just walk out of expectations. Amen. And I decree blessings over you. In the name of Jesus. I decree blessings that you not miss this season. In the name of Jesus. I ask in this season that the spirit of creativity, innovation and wisdom will begin to find expression in your life. Because your days has come. Your days of visitation has come. Your days of visitation has come. In the name of Jesus. Your days of visitation has come. In the name of Jesus. Your days of visitation has come. In the name of Jesus. You will not be denied what is yours. You will not be denied what is yours. In this season, the skill that is at work in your life will be a requirement. And you will function in the palace. You will function where it matters. In the name of Jesus. They will send for you. And there will be a decree. There will be a cry, a noise of your exploit. It will cut across territories and palace and places. In the name of Jesus. You will not live an ordinary life. And I decree blessings upon blessings. Increase upon increase. In this season, you will excel in the name of Jesus. In this season, you excel. You become the head, not the tail. The best in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, listen to this. Let me quickly explain this before you go. When God was exodusing the Israelites, when he was bringing them out of Egypt and taking them to Canaan, it was not a bonanza. It was not a gift. In fact, it was because those people had sinned. And the judgment for that sin was Exodus out of their land. God was going to push them out. And for God to show his justice, when Israel also sinned, he pushed them out. When God takes what somebody has abused and placed in your hands, when you abuse it, he takes it from you also. It is not a bonanza that because you are one special child, it is about God's agenda. Is it clear? I sense strongly in my spirit to say that it is about God's agenda. So don't think God is cheating on somebody to bless you. No. If you show yourself useful for his agenda, he places the grace on you. But if you show yourself as a squanderer, then he places on somebody else. And I ask that this generation will not fail God. You will not choose to settle for plate in the name of Jesus. And it is done. In Jesus' mighty name.
The message you just listened to is sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, Flame. To partner with Flame, kindly make use of these account details. 2215005289 UBA.